you've just heard Magic Number from Kobato by Maya Sakamoto. And I'm Hatake. And we also have Mitsugi with us.
I like Maya Sakamoto. She's pretty.
She's awesome. And Kimiko.
Hi, everyone.
And everyone say hi to Chiaki.
What's the weather like in Japan right now?
Well, I'm in the more southern area of Japan. Up in Hokkaido, it's probably really freaking cold. But here it's pretty much about low 40s in the morning and low 50s during the day, on average.
I just heard a bird in the background.
I did, Japanese crows. Birds.
There are a lot of crows in Japan.
That was a crow. I feel stupid now.
Japanese birds,
the crows, they're just so rare. You know, like they sounded anime. Oh, that's just Naruto, never mind. Okay.
I'm sorry, all my doors and windows are closed. That's how loud that bird is. I apologize, how much I can do.
Oh, how little goodness. Effort.
Nature gets in the way of the podcast.
Damn you, nature!
So anyway, you guys can find us at aaapodcast.com, iTunes, Facebook, and Mevio.com. We have some new forum members joining us.
Hooray!
Huzzah!
Pretty much one for every day of the week.
Yeah, that's pretty epic. We just keep getting them like the Energizer Bunny. That sounds awkward. Yep. Anyway, awkwardness aside, I want to pronounce your name Viral because of Gurren Lagann, but it could be Viral too. I don't really know. But welcome to you. I'm sorry if I botched your name. The Green Gentleman, Yordi, Zaya Art Addict, JCN Casval 76, Click Sick. Welcome to you all. I'm sorry with the name botching, but...
Wait, JCN Casval. You have a hard name.
It's Jicna Casval 76. No, it's not.
Oh well. Okay.
JC and
Texas Harding.
Moving on.
Welcome.
Sorry, I was interrupting you. I got excited. I like birthdays.
Do you want to announce the birthday?
I do.
Okay.
Happy birthday, Otaku Nick. I think you're turning 20, unless you lied about your age on the forums.
That's a good age.
Which
it
happens.
The internet.
That is quite a good age.
It is a good age.
Could actually be a 65-year-old man.
Well, actually, let's not get into that.
Okay, that's
we'll just assume you're 20.
Yeah, so happy 20th birthday, Otaku Nick, or belated, whenever you hear this.
And we also have a new trivia question that we posted, and although many people have already answered it, it is still live and ready to be undertaken. However, last week we had even more people get the question right. The question was, it was a picture of the Razaphon from the anime Razaphon. And even though many people answered it correctly, Bakuhazu was the lucky person who had enough luck to randomly be selected.
The lucky person
with lots of luck.
That's right.
I put the Gundam question for all of you guys who came from the Gundam people. Well, it wasn't a Gundam question, but the mech question.
Gundam it, you're awesome.
Wow, you're a cheese ball.
I am. That makes me hungry.
Hungry for words? Okay, never mind. Alright, maybe somebody got that. Okay, our main topic today is going to be cosplay! Because everyone loves talking about cosplay, and we need to tell
cosplay.
You guys what to, you know, we'll fill you
Yay,
in.
Yay, cosplay!
We got some pretty interesting news articles, some impressions, Fairy Tail and Kobato, and we have reviews of GTO, Last Exile, Nabari no O, and Phantom Memory Kurau. So, you guys want to get
started?
Heck yeah!
Get the show on.
Let's do
this! It's party time! P-A-R-T-Y? Because I gotta.
I freaking love Jim Carrey!
Me too. You know that Robin Williams apparently came out of the closet?
No, he didn't.
No.
I died.
He didn't come out of the closet.
Apparently he did.
I think Robin Williams being gay or not gay has nothing to do with cosplay. Unless you want to cosplay a gay Robin Williams. So let's move on.
Just
dress up as the dude from the Birdcage.
He's very hairy. He's very hairy. Imagine as cosplay a gorilla.
Aww.
I'm totally mad in love with him as a little kid.
And he was not in love with you, though, because you don't have a penis.
Get Get out!
That's what some people think.
Excuse me.
Are you guys ever going to talk about cosplay, or are we just going to talk about Robin Williams? Alright, Chiaki, will you please do something?
Okay, I think we should start by talking about cosplays with... when deciding a cosplay, what do you need to think about? Specifically, what is your realm of cosplay possibilities? Kimiko, go.
Okay.
Realm of cosplay possibilities, go. Just
indeed.
Talk.
Unless you have the particular body type of the anime character, don't try to dress up like them. It doesn't look right. It doesn't work.
So in other words, don't even bother trying to do Yoko from Gurren Lagann.
Yeah, pretty much.
Unless you're unless you are Olivia Munn.
There we go. Exactly.
Unless you're Kate Beckinsale, don't attempt Faye.
And yeah. Cross-gender is okay if done well. If you can make yourself look relatively like a boy and you're a girl, then do it.
I mean, it's generally okay, I think, cross-gender too, because, let's face it, a lot of the boys in anime are very, very effeminate. Yeah. So exactly. If you even look somewhat masculine, you can normally get away with it.
Especially if the character is like Suichi from Gravitation, where there is no denying... He's got pink hair, for God's sakes. So any girl can... I have seen a guy dress up like him, though, and it was hilarious, and it was perfect. So if you can pull it off, do it, you know? It's the same thing. Similar body type, similar personality. Make it happen.
One thing I want to talk about with... similar personalities or faking personalities is when to stay in character and when it is okay to not be in character. Because while on one side I do admire people who stay in character the whole time they're at a con, it can be very, very, very annoying. And you don't want to piss off everyone else at the con. I mean... If you're...
like, lowly Shota.
Yeah. There's a very fine line between endearing and annoying. Oh. And you just need to know what that line is. For example, if someone was cosplaying Ed, and they had the perfect body, and they were the perfect size, and they were had the personality, that could be very endearing. But you could also, I hope everyone could also see, how it could also get very, very old very fast. So... my general, like, rule that I think of whenever I cosplay is whenever you are on camera, you're always in character in what you say and how you act and how you move. And if you're just moving throughout the con, being a little bit in character is a good thing because I've snapped pictures of people from, like, across the con hall. I know that sounds creepy, but I have.
That's good, too.
We've all done it.
Yeah. So, I mean, if someone is candidly snapping your photo, it's good to, you know, if you're being, I don't know, if you're being Light from Death Note and you're skipping about, that's not going to really make for a good picture, or maybe it'll make for the best picture ever.
Be hilarious.
It's a fine one.
But essentially, my rule is on camera always, generally around the con to some extent, but just watch how much you interact with other people in character, because that's when it gets annoying. I saw this Terminator cosplay that was amazing, and he would just walk around being brooding, and it was really cool, because he had the persona, but he wasn't bothering anyone. And that's what you need to do. Don't walk up to people, don't hassle them, don't bother them if they obviously don't want to be hassled or bothered. If they come up and they're like, oh, Ed, I love you, then jump on their shoulders. So,
that's perfect.
He's the Terminator. He's not going to be all cuddly with you.
And if you're involved in... yeah.
He's going to terminate your ass.
And if you're involved in some of the skits or performances that go on, make sure that your character personality is dead on, because people notice.
Oh, yeah, and they will critique you.
Remember, you're surrounded by anime nerds.
And you're on stage.
Okay? Every single person knows how you should behave.
So another thing that you have to look at is never being afraid to make your own cosplay. No one will judge you outwardly.
It's true.
I will judge you. I will judge you outwardly. I will not want to take your picture.
Wow. That's pretty much judging inwardly. Nobody's going to come up to you and be like, oh my god, your cosplay sucks.
Yeah, they just won't ask you for your picture, like Chiaki.
It is tempting, though. I have seen some very offensive cosplays.
Offensive as in poorly made, or offensive as in they should not be wearing that?
Both. The thing that I also have to say is if you pick really lovable characters, get the cosplay right. Because if everyone knows who you are and everyone loves who you are, like, if you're Kamina, you better be a damn good Kamina or you're going to have a shit ton of fangirls wanting to kick your ass inside.
Yep. It's true. I don't think I've ever seen a bad Kamina, though, so...
Hence, well, that's because everyone's scared.
It's been followed.
I've seen a really bad Takuto, and it made me cry.
Oh, that
it made me cry.
Me.
It really did. Anyway.
Yeah. So...
So what was your next point?
But as far as hand-making costumes, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. If you're new to cosplay, even if you have, like, if you have a character that you, like, really want to cosplay, but say the costume is, like, really, really intricate or really difficult to make, put it as a goal to work up to and start small. Like, I have a lot of things that I want to cosplay. Character Futena, and I finally worked up to that, but before that I was just random cat girl, and then I was Launch from Dragon Ball, and it's like, you need to learn these techniques so that when you do the more difficult things, if you're hand-making your costumes, that is, that you don't utterly mess them up. And it's... You'll be more content with it, to be honest, because I think... I personally believe that if you hand-make a costume and you know it looks kind of bad, you're going to be kind of upset with yourself. Like, I know I am. Like, I always see every wrinkle in my costume and every place that the stitching is imperfect,
so... It makes you feel bad to wear it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's because you're the artist, you know? Like, everybody... All the artists always recognizes, you know, they're all their own problem.
I'm no artist. I mean, I can write, but I can't draw or paint or anything like that. But when I'm... You know, if I put together my own costume, I want it to look good, or else I don't feel like I should be wearing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I feel like people will notice. I feel like I'll notice, specifically.
And cosplay really costs a lot of money, but
yeah. There's
something to be said for putting in that extra $20 to make it look good, because otherwise you're like, where did all of my money go?
Exactly.
It's very true.
It's well worth it. But if you are making it yourself, along those lines, details really, really do matter. Because, you know, there's always details that are specific to the character, so you shouldn't leave them out. You know, like if you're dressing up as Honey, then you should have a bun. If you're dressing up as Edward Elric, you should have automail. If you're dressing up as Yoko, you should have a skull pin.
But don't.
Like that. But don't.
Do yourself a favor and don't dress up as Yoko.
You know, it's those little details that are what make the costume special and, like, close to the character. They're what make it a cosplay outfit. So if you're going to do it yourself, then do it right.
Yeah, not to mention... If you're going to enter into a competition, which if you make your own costume, I highly encourage people to enter into the competition, because even if you don't win, you have a chance. I mean, if you store buy or, like, you know, buy a costume, you don't really have a chance in the competition against people who hand make their costumes, because the judges put so much more weight onto that. But, like, if you enter a competition, those little details are going to matter, because on stage, what everyone sees normally at the con is the on-stage person where people walk out and pose or whatever. But before that, you're with the judges and you're standing right in front of them. And they reach out and they touch your costume. They feel the seams. They know what you've made and how you've made it. And if you forget those details, they're going to notice. And yeah. So if you enter a contest especially, those details are really important.
Yes.
Very much so. But
Indeed. In
retrospect, for the people who aren't going to be making their costumes because maybe they're like me and can't sew worth shit, comparison buy. If you go to three different vendors that maybe have a similar outfit that you want, you will more than likely find three different prices. Basically, just shop around, find different wigs of different prices, different jackets. You can even buy, like, an Oron jacket at one place and then buy all the accessories in another. Just, you know, try to figure out the best way to make what money you have work for you.
Generally speaking, don't buy things at cons. eBay is the cosplayer's friend. There's this really big website called cosplay.com, and... It's another option for people who are buying or looking to get props or whatever, because I've seen a lot of people on there who are like, hey, I'm looking for this. Does anyone have it for sale? Or people who just say, I've done this cosplay, I'm not interested in being this character anymore, and I want to get money for new cosplays, so I'm selling this prop or whatever. So I just, generally speaking, don't buy things at cons because I feel that they're overpriced.
They are very overpriced, but also it never hurts to look. Because I found some pretty inexpensive stuff, specifically on Sundays of cons, where people are trying to get rid of some of their stuff. So it never hurts to look, but Chiaki's right. If you're looking for the big things, go online.
Definitely. All right, my strategy to approaching cosplay is to run with ideas and, like, use really, really creative approaches. Like, I don't particularly enjoy cosplaying things or people or ideas that have been done before. I like to step up and be like, all right, you know, I want to be this character, but I want to be this character in a way that hasn't been done before, so I can't be judged, because I'm not really good with a needle, but, you know, I still want to be enthusiastic about it. So, like, for example, I took Sakura and I put an Akatsuki robe on her and then did, like, an Orochimaru curse mark up the neck, and that actually went over really big.
It was a really cool, I liked it. It was nifty.
And also, cosplay people who haven't been cosplayed before. Like, voice actors. If you're like really excited to meet a voice actor at a con, cosplay them. Because not only will they never forget you, but it'll be a lot of fun and you'll meet a lot of other fans. I cosplayed Scott McNeil, and according to him, I am the world's first Scott McNeil cosplayer. And yeah.
They love it. It's great.
They do. They really.
Imitation is the most sincere form of flattery.
Yes.
Hell yeah, it is.
And he told me it was the most flattering thing that anyone's ever done for him. So hearing that from, like, your favorite person in the entire world is kind of a lot. but yeah, do that. It's cool. You won't be let down. And I guess another point I had about that is, like, the more that a costume has been done at a convention, the more that you'll be judged and the less attention you'll get. If you do something that isn't really often done, you're going to get a lot of people coming up to you wanting your picture and saying, you know, this is really cool.
Yeah,
blah,
so
blah.
If it's like the season for something, like when Oron first came out, everyone was all over the jackets.
Yeah.
And everybody was dressing up as a character from Oron, and which is great, especially if you have a group that's all like, you know, you got the twins, you got Tamaki, you got everybody. But since everyone was doing it, you know, it's a little bit less popular in terms of people taking pictures and stuff like that. So wait for a little while. Wait until it's kind of died down some.
Lag behind a little bit.
Exactly.
Yeah. Or in some cases, you know, get ahead of the game. If something has just come out, like I'm going to be cosplaying from Nabari no O.
And then it's like its own form of advertising.
Yeah, it really is, actually. And it's a very small fandom, and I haven't seen many cosplays done of it, so yeah.
Not to mention, when you cosplay a character that's known but not well known, I think might be the best way to put it.
Yeah.
Like, my favorite cosplay probably that I've ever done was when I cosplay Nanami from Utena. People know Utena, but it's old and not many people have seen it. But it's like when you get that one person who knows who you are, they are so genuinely excited. If you're being like a character that everyone knows, sure, you might get 20 pictures if it's like, oh, look, it's so-and-so. Okay, I'll take a picture with you. But like, if you're doing someone that doesn't get either a lot of screen time or doesn't get a lot of fandom, per se, and you cosplay that person, the people who like it will go crazy. They'll just be like, oh my god, yes! Thank you! And I've been that person
about
before.
That.
There are many characters that I'm like, are you blah from blah? And they're like, yes. And I'm like, can I hug you, please? And one of the things that I want to bring up before we get into kind of the fun part of this, where we talk about things we've cosplays and the best cosplay we've ever seen, is just, even if you're doing someone well-known or not well-known, you're going to take pictures. And just some kind of tips and hints for taking good pictures. As conceited as this sounds, expect to take pictures and practice in the mirror beforehand. Like, whenever I cosplay, I try to get about 3 or 4 poses that I can close my eyes and do, and then I check in the mirror to make sure it looks okay.
Yeah.
So that way I have, like, 3 or 4 poses that when people are like, take a picture with me, I know I have a pose that's going to, one, be the character, two, is going to look good, and then three, is just going to work with my costume. Because if your costume has, like, a high slit, you want to, like mine did, one of my other cosplays, you don't want to raise your hands above your head, because you might be showing a little more in that photo than what you want.
A little birdie, indeed.
So, just know that if you're going to cosplay, at some point, even if it's just one or two at the con, you're going to take a picture with someone. So, try to remember, you know, pick a pose for your character, study your character beforehand, and figure out something that works. Because there are too many people that I see that are cosplaying, and they're like, oh, can I take a, and I'm like, oh, can I take a picture with you? And they just kind of stand there with me in the photo. And some characters that works with. But, like...
Okay, if you were Sister Esther, you would want to
play,
you know?
Yes,
something
exactly.
Like, that. Like, I'm hoping to dress up as Ty Lee for one of the conventions. And I can do a really cool... It's called a pagoda, which is where you lay on your stomach and you move your head, your feet over and put them on either side of your head, because I have a crazy flexible back. And it's something Ty Lee would do. So, that's what I'd do.
Exactly. Something like that, that just don't feel like because someone's in the picture with you, you have to interact with them to make it a good picture. And if you want to interact with them, like when I was Reyna, there were so many people that day who I killed, like who were like, can you be killing me, please? I'm like,
yes.
Okay. If you want to, quote unquote, stand and deliver with the other person just in the photo, try to interact with them somehow as their character would. Like if you're Lust from Full Metal Alchemist, you might want to drape yourself over, if it's a guy or a girl, drape yourself over their shoulders in like a sexy pose. But keep the hands.
With your nails.
Yeah. Just.
Spoilers.
Just. I'm hesitant to have said that now because just keep in touch. The touchy-feely aspect, because there are too many people at cons who are creepy and touch you when you don't want to be touched.
If you're posing for a photo, it's different.
Yeah, that's true.
Ask them first. Don't just be like, I sling myself over you. Be like, is it okay if I, like, touch you?
Yeah.
In appropriate places. You know? Like, if I was Ty Lee, I would probably do the pressure point thing and make it look like I was pressure pointing them, and they could be like, oh my god, you know? But that's some slight, you know, touching of the arm or something like that.
Yoite doesn't need to touch anyone. He's like, get away from
me. Don't touch me in a private place.
You freak.
Well put.
But yes, keep those things in mind, because they're what make pictures great.
Yes, indeed. And nothing is worse than getting home at the... Okay, this is my final comment, and then we'll move on. But... don't forget to get some pictures for yourself, because I've done this and it's so disappointing. You get all dressed up, you spend like, you know, anywhere from a half hour to like an hour and a half or more doing your makeup, getting in the costume, getting it all on. You go to the con and you take hundreds of pictures of people. You're so excited, and then you get home at the end of the day, you look at your camera, and you never got any of yourself. And this is after the fact of taking off your costume. So don't forget, you know, go out, pose with trees or buildings or in alleyways, whatever fits your character, and don't forget to get some photos for yourself, or else you will regret it.
Very much so.
I have another comment to add.
This should be good.
A character that you can just stand there with. Yaya Han. Yep.
Yep.
She just has to stand there and yeah. With, like, the giant boobs and...
Oh, my gosh.
Come on. When the top number is 10 numbers higher than the middle number...
Okay. All right.
What?
Like, we're not into this.
We are. Yaya Hong can just stand there.
You are the only guy.
I have
to add... straight.
All right.
Except for each...
Here you go.
With each other.
All right, ready? Okay. Ready?
Ready? Shh, don't tell
anybody. Ready? Chiaki. Estrogen.
Yes.
It's an estrogen. I had to produce three times as much testosterone.
We all have, there's testosterone in us, and there's estrogen in you.
And progesterone, or whatever, blah,
and
blah.
And progesterone.
Welcome to the Anime Addicts Anonymous episode. We're talking about like hormones.
Intro.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, all right, so, what, Why don't we move on now to either things we've cosplayed and any funny stories or what we want to talk about with that, and then the best cosplays we've seen.
Things I've cosplayed.
Go ahead.
Sister Esther. What was another one that I did that was kind of awesome? I do a lot of Gothic Lolita, even though it's not particularly cosplay, but it's a style, and it's really, really fun.
It's cute. You look good in it.
When I was at Otakon in 2005, Nana Kitade, who's, like, basically practically the creator of Gothic Lolita, had a Gothic Lolita fashion show that I got to see.
Epic.
It was awesome.
What else have I cosplayed? You've been with me at a convention. I can't remember.
You usually just, like, wear really cute outfits with, like, the wig and...
Yeah. So, basically, if you don't have an outfit that you can cosplay with because you're short on money or haven't had an opportunity to make them, dress up in crazy colors or look for various anime
Classic
or Japanese or made of, you know, stuff and throw them together and be awesome.
Seriously, though, like, closet cosplays are really cool. Like, when you like, wear, like, a wig, like, that's styled like a character and then throw on clothes that they would wear...
Oh, yeah.
You think? That's
or
cool.
Just get a giant cardboard box and...
Snake.
Be a
Snake.
And cosplay,
Snake.
Cosplay as a glory hole or something.
Oh, you.
What?
Or cosplay as the dick in a box guy. Why don't we just go there?
Cosplay. No. Or paint it brown and cosplay as Domo.
You could be Snake, but then when you come out of the box, you have to look like him, so you have to have a cosplay.
You don't ever have to come out of the box.
Ever? Whatever. I think that Bob Williams should have stayed in his cardboard box.
Okay, listen.
You
enough
know
about
what?
That.
Get out.
Hatake. Cosplay.
Okay, so things I've cosplayed. My first cosplay ever. My first, like, legit cosplay was a Reaper from The World Ends With You, which is a really cool game for Nintendo DS.
That game is awesome.
Yeah, that was amazing. And I also cosplayed Ego Raptor, if any of you guys know who he is.
He was awesome.
He was at the con that day, and I was like, we had like hung out with them, so I was like, I'll throw together some form of Ego Raptor cosplay, and he thought it was hilarious. As I mentioned before, cosplayed Scott McNeil, and that made for a really, really memorable time, including getting mentioned at the panel, having to stand up, having the entire audience clap for me, and that was fun.
You and your cosplay stories.
Oh, yeah, and I've cosplayed Akatsuki Sakura. I don't think I've cosplayed anybody else, but I have some good ones in the lineup.
Heck yeah. Uh-oh. I'm hoping Princess Mononoke eventually.
That'd be a good one.
It's so much fun.
Well, that's you.
And you can, yeah, a little bit.
You can, like, spread blood all over your mouth and...
Exactly. That's the only reason I want to do it.
That's creepy.
No, I actually want to do it for the weaponry. She has some pretty kick-ass weaponry.
Yeah, she does.
And the jewelry. It's really nifty.
And the poof! Kimiko, we should totally cosplay together. Oh, wait, we're going to!
Nobody knows.
I think we should
can talk about it when we review it.
We should cosplay Nausicaa, and you can have a big glider.
Could be
oh,
cool.
You have no idea. A glider, and then I would get to have the cutest little animal in the world sitting on my shoulder. Yay.
And you could have, like, the glider do something cool, and you could win the prop prize, too.
Heck yeah! I'd have it levitate off the ground, because that would be that awesome.
You could probably program some kind of a remote... Have you seen this remote control skateboard you can stand on?
Yeah.
You could probably build one of those into it, and stand on it, and then have it move around.
I'll have to look into that. But, you know, I saw a girl who dressed up as Misa, and had this whole makeup behind her that was, like, a stand that sat on her shoulders, and Rem... sort of, like, levitated above her.
Oh.
It was the coolest cosplay I think I have ever seen in my life. So if she didn't win something for prop and costume, then...
That's really cool.
It was brilliant. But anyway.
All right, so how about you, Chiaki?
Yeah.
I have been... My first quote-unquote cosplay was Random Cat Girl, which everyone ended up telling me that I looked exactly like a character from something. So I guess I was that character for the day. Then I did Launch from Dragon Ball.
I remember
and
that.
The blonde Launch. And then I did Nanami from Utena, and that's probably one of my favorites. And then I most recently did Reina from Higurashi, which was just a lot of fun. So those are my cosplays. Best cosplay I've ever seen. I mentioned him earlier, but I think the Terminator has to be one of them because he had, like, it looked like professional makeup, and it, like, he had, like, metal parts that lit up on his flesh. Like, I don't know how he made his costume, but it was phenomenal. Like, it looked like he just walked off a movie set. And then the other, like, best cosplay I've ever seen was actually here in Japan when I was in Tokyo and walking around Odaiba and ended up stumbling upon a professional cosplay photo shoot. I saw, I don't know if anyone, I know Mitsugi knows it, but I don't know if anyone else does, Magical Lyrical Nanoha.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I saw Nanoha and Fate from Strikers, so when they were older, and they were in, like, their battle gear with, like, these props. I can't explain it. Like, have you ever just had a moment where you're just like, like, that was this moment. It was like they walked off the TV and, like, into life. Oh, everything was perfect.
Did you take pictures of them?
No, because the second I pulled out my camera, I had, like, six Japanese ladies with, like, clipboards and scary looking going, no photo, no photo, no, dame. I'm like, okay, I won't take photo. I took a couple in secret way away from those girls because they were just going into their shoot and I couldn't get any. But, oh my god, their props just, their costumes blew my mind away. They just, I don't even know how they were constructed. It was just like,
it's cause like I said, Japanese.
I know. But in fairness as well, they were professionals. Like I said, they were going into like a photo shoot for like a magazine. So I don't even know if they made them.
It's incredible.
Well, speaking of Lyrical Nanoha, there is a Lyrical Nanoha movie coming out in the next season's lineup, which I claim ahead of time, since I have watched all of the other ones.
You love Nanoha.
But it's my turn. I have only done one cosplay, and I did Great Teacher Onizuka, and I did the Pajama Onizuka, where in, like, the third episode, where he's freaked out, and he's walking around the school, and he has, like, the garlic necklace, which I made out of real garlic, and, the headband with the lit candles, and the cross, and the prayer.
That necklace was so heavy. I remember helping you make that.
Really, and so you've got, like, you have, like, a 6-pound necklace of garlic on your neck, so your backer, and then you have, like, 5 candles tied tightly against your skull, so you have, like, a huge headache. That costume was kind of fun, but wasn't very comfortable. And then Yoko did black suit on Nizuka. So we did both on Nizuka.
So that just about wraps up our discussion on cosplay. This is a good one, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Word.
Feel free to go over to the forums and continue our conversation, because we'd love to talk to you more about it. We just don't have all night.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to take a quick anime news break with Kimiko, and then come back for some impressions.
Hatake. Now it's time for another fascinating round of anime news. The iconic anime car Speed Racers Mach 5 joined for the first time ever the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. It drove by alongside the giant balloons of Pikachu with a Pokeball from Pokemon and Sanrio's super cute Hello Kitty. And in more saddening news, Hisaya Morishige, the acclaimed post-war actor whose voice dubbing work inspired Studio Ghibli's co-founder and director Hayao Miyazaki, passed away on November 10th of natural causes. He was 96 years old. He voiced all of the main characters in the 1958 anime Hakujuden, The White Snake Enchantress, the first full-length color animation film in Japan. He later voiced the boar god in Princess Mononoke, a more familiar film. Miyazaki said it was Hakujuden that directly inspired him to become an animator. The anime studio production IG has announced on Wednesday that Eden of the East the Movie 2, Paradise Lost, the second film sequel to Eden of the East anime series, has been delayed until March. The film was originally scheduled for January 9th, but the company cited production issues for the delay since the company had initially planned 2 60-minute film sequels. However, as the story structure of the films expanded, the company extended the runtime of the first film sequel to 82 minutes. The second film sequel is now slated to run for 90. This has been another dose of your anime news. Back to you, Hatake.
for that, Kimiko. And now we're moving on to impressions.
Yes.
And speaking of Kimiko, our first impression is Fairy Tail.
Anyway, Fairy Tail. It's interesting. Basically, it's the story of a sorceress named Lucy who travels to this particular town to find out how to get into the Fairy Tail group. And this group is specifically... well, I guess first I should start off by saying in this world, magic is kind of like a useful skill that most people try to learn, or, you know, it's sold, like, it's traded, it's stuff that people live with, it's stuff that people are used to.
Huh.
You know, it's part of everyday life, and various groups that do it for a profession are called, wizards, and different groups.
Wait a second, let us reflect on the creativity of that name.
I know, I had no idea how they came up with it, it was just so original.
Is it like Wizardos? I don't know. That's a hard word to say in
I don't know.
Katakana.
That might have just been the translation, but nonetheless, they are magicians of a sort, and they'll do different commissions. If you think about it, you know, like people will ask them to save someone for them, or ask them to find someone for them, you know, things like that. And the guild that has produced the most talented wizards is the Fairy Tail Guild, and which is why Lucy wants to be in it. And along the way, she meets Natsu, who she finds out is in the Fairy Tail Guild, and all sorts of crazy shit happens, and, well, you know, there you go.
Why is it called Fairy Tail? Like a T-A-I-L?
I honestly don't know. That's just the name of the group.
That's weird. Like, I figured they would all have tails or something.
No, they don't.
Maybe
their symbol kind of looks like a wing, but that doesn't really help you either.
Well, maybe they're all going to grow tails.
Yeah, I'm sure this that's going to happen. Episode 6.
This isn't Loveless.
Are those ears?
And tails.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Wow,
I've only seen an episode.
I've only seen, like, two.
Age difference, then. Sorry.
Okay.
That's some serious age difference.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Okay, but we're not talking about Loveless.
No, we're talking about Fairy Tale.
Yes.
And, you know, it wigged me out. Well, it didn't wig me out, but it sort of threw me a little bit that you feel like the entire series is going to be based off of her trying to get into the Fairy Tale Guild, and literally within the first episode, she's joined the Fairy Tale Guild. So it's like, where does the rest of this entire plot have to go? But, you know, the animation sort of reminded me a little bit of One Piece.
Oh, okay.
It was nifty. It was a little bit cleaner than One Piece, because, you know, One Piece has a little bit of the etchiness to it, like old animation, sort of. But, which is weird, because it looks a little old animation style, and considering that we are near 2010, a lot of the anime coming out is trying to be, like, uber modern, and it's not modern at all in Fairy Tail, which is interesting. It's very, very Shonen Jump. If I can use that, you
yes,
know?
You can.
It reminded me a little bit of, like, the stuff that 4Kids would get their hands on. So, I don't know if that's saying something, but it's decent. I mean,
that's good.
It's already been licensed. I don't know by who, but...
well, there's not very many companies left.
No, but probably Funimation. No, but... Yeah, I would give it maybe a recommendation to some, but not all. I mean, it's hard to get into. It's hard to keep your attention, just because a lot of fighting that's kind of pointless.
Okay,
with
so
lots and lots of shiny colors.
I was
colors.
Just going to ask you if it had a lot of fighting in it.
It has a lot of fighting in it.
Well, is it, like, good fighting, or is it, like...
It's fighting with magic, so it's very colorful, but it's not always, like, you know, the guy's pretending that, or he's trying to be very badass... But, you know, it just...
But is it exciting fighting, or is it, like, boring fighting, like the Sacred Blacksmith boring?
It's the sort of fighting where it doesn't change much. So, you know, it's exciting the first couple of times you see it, and then eventually you're just like, okay.
Well, it's a short series, so maybe it'll...
Maybe, but, I mean, it's one of those where every time he does a particular move, all of a sudden he's on the other end of the screen doing the exact same move in the exact same way with the exact same fire that he's done the entire time.
Are they reusing cells? Or that probably. Was second. Probably not even using cells.
Probably. But I mean, you know, it's worth a look just because, you know, you may like it where I get bored, but I don't expect much from it.
You know what it sounds like to me, honestly? It sounds like an anime that's not really well known, but it sounds like an anime called Someday's Dreamers, which has a very similar concept of people learning magic and teachers and small groups and then magic being sold and commissioned and things like that.
Very similar, very similar. A lot more fighting, a lot more pointlessness. But, yeah, you know, maybe they stole the idea. But anyway, Hatake has a review too, right?
I do. I am reviewing Kobato. Or Kobato. Yeah, dear that's heaven. The only way to... Yeah. Yeah, honestly, like, I was bracing myself for the worst with this series. I didn't think it was so bad. I mean, sure, it lacks a lot of substance, as Mitsugi earlier spoke. Not on the podcast, but... It's very, like, cute in a light and shoujo way.
Can I just say something?
Yeah, sure.
Back when we first started the season, I wanted to be responsible, so I tried to make sure I watched, like, 2 episodes of everything, which was kind of a tall order, and I haven't kept up with it. But Kobato was one of the first ones I picked up, and to be honest, I couldn't watch more than, like, 7 minutes of it. Like, I made it through the beginning of, like, Sacred Blacksmith. It was just too damn cute.
It's very cute.
And that little dog thing that breathes fire. What the hell is the deal with that? Anyway, I'm sorry. Keep talking.
Stop that animal. I mean, it's about a girl named Kobato, and she's trying to get her wish granted, which... I'm still not really sure what it is, but
maybe she doesn't know either.
I think I don't know.
Is it like X? I'll grant your wish. I'll poke out your eye so you can be like your brother.
Not it. Yeah, but
sorry.
X is really good. But let's not get into that right now.
We should probably review that soon.
We should review that. Okay. So basically, the way that she's going to get her wish granted is she has to mend the wounded hearts of the people she meets on her journey and fill up a magical bottle with the suffering she has relieved.
Oh, dear heaven.
But there's a catch. She can't fall in love with any of the people she helps out. But
so let me guess.
It's pretty obvious.
Obviously she's going to fall in love eventually. That's really predictable, but she doesn't really know what she's doing.
Okay.
She doesn't know how to deal with people. So she's really bad at that. And her stuffed dog kind of yells at her and scorches her with his fire-breathing capabilities a lot.
So one of two things is going to happen. Either the girl is going to fall in love, like, in the middle towards the end with one person, or she's going to be...
We already know who it is, too.
Or she's going to be a straight-up hoe and just fall in love with everybody.
No, she won't fall in love with everyone. She's an innocent little character. She can't do that.
Oh, she starts out innocent.
I don't think that this is going to let me down, because it seems like a pretty straightforward... predictable series, but it's I don't know, it's really cute. That's and this the art is pretty okay.
Okay, so
who
is capable of watching this anime? Is this a girl?
It's a girl anime. It's girly. Oh, also, if you like Clamp anime, I know they there's a lot of cameos in this series. I mean, I think in the 3rd episode there's Chobits characters.
No way!
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And there's characters from another series too. I think there's some characters from Tsubasa towards the end, but I don't really remember because I'm not too familiar with Clamp anime.
That's odd, because doesn't Tsubasa have all kinds of other Clamp characters in it?
Yeah, Clamp tends to, yeah. So I don't know. If you're really into the girly type of thing, and you can deal with something that doesn't really have a strong plot, and you just want some like light, fluffy, kind of a romantic comedy, yeah, give it a watch.
It's fluff and stuff.
It's, yeah, fluff and stuff. That's pretty much what it should be called instead of Kobato.
Fluff and stuff.
Maybe that's what Kobato means.
Alright, and we're going to take another anime news break with Kimiko. And when we come back, we will give you guys the reviews that you've been waiting for.
Once again, it's time for the news! On Monday, police in Japan arrested 10 individuals on suspicion of using the Share File Sharing software to upload film, music, anime, games, and other content on the internet without the copyright holder's permission. In addition, an unspecified home was searched in Akita Prefecture, but no arrest was reported there. The first three people to be arrested for allegedly using the Share File Sharing program were arrested in May of last year in three different prefectures. These three previous suspects reportedly shared anime from the Gundam franchise. Another death was reported within the last week. Prolific lyricist Toshio Oka passed away in a Tokyo hospital on Tuesday at 4:02 a.m. He was 92 years old and born in Fukushima Prefecture under the name Yasukichi Nishiyama. While he was working at a newspaper company after World War II, he began writing lyrics for hit songs from the music company Nippon Columbia. Some of the anime series for which he wrote songs were Science Ninja Team Gatchaman Fighter, Shinjo Ningen Kasan, Umi no Triton, and Todemo Senshi Mutaki. Attention all Shin-chan fans! The Daily Sports newspaper reported on Tuesday that preparations are being made for a sequel of the Crayon Shin-chan four-panel comedy manga from the late manga creator Yoshito Usui. According to the newspaper, the serialization is aimed for a launch next summer in a new form. Futsubasha's monthly Manga Town magazine had already announced that it would publish previously unseen installments of the manga until the March issue, which will ship on February 5th, 2010. That was your final dose of anime news for this podcast. See you guys next time.
Thanks again, Kimiko. And now on to the reviews that you guys have all been waiting for.
Yay.
Woo-hoo. So first up, we have GTO.
Oh my god.
Take it away, Mitsugi.
GTO is an anime I happen to love, and I wasn't really planning on reviewing it because I wouldn't normally pick animes from like my all-time favorites list to review unless somebody requested it, and someone did. Mikhail from the forum requested GTO from me, and since I practically have a PhD on this anime, so I'm just gonna start taking from the top. GTO starts as an anime called Shonen Junai Gumi, which is about Eikichi Onizuka and Ryuji Danma, who are very close friends. They're in high school, and they basically drop out of high school, and I believe that they eventually finish. However, they're basically two of the most feared biker gang members in all of Japan, and they crush this group of bikers called the Midnight Angels, and they basically create a group called the Onibaku. And the Shonen Junai Gumi is a pretty silly anime. It's basically about them trying to get laid and how it never happens to work out for them for one reason or another, but it has a lot of like gang fighting in it and stuff like that. However, GTO is absolutely not the same at all. GTO kind of follows, it jumps into the future, I'd say probably something like, Onizuka's 22 years old in GTO. So, it's probably about 5 years in the future. And, you know, Ryuji Danma is basically, he owns a bike shop. Onizuka decides he wants to be a school teacher because he wants to nail all the sexy high school students.
So he's just like you!
I guess he's just like me, I guess.
like me, I guess.
So, however, he goes and he applies to be a teacher at a school called Holy Forest Academy, because it's a private school, and you don't have to take a standardized test or anything to qualify as a teacher, because he basically doesn't have much education. And after he eventually does get the job, and through a series of events, and however, they put him in charge of the middle school class. So he quickly gives up on his dream of nailing the high school students, and occasionally touches upon how it might be more fun to nail the high school or the middle school kids' mothers. But that's not really what the anime is about either. They put him in charge of the trouble class, who has basically driven their teachers to have nervous breakdowns in the past. They go through like three teachers a year.
Do any of them commit suicide?
I don't think so, but the one lady gains like 40 pounds and ends up like in a crazy house. They do like ridiculous stuff to these teachers, like making them feel stupid in class so they're too afraid to teach. One of the girls has like an IQ of 200, so they'll doctor photos of them and post them all over the school. Oof. Doing sexual things, and it goes on and on. And so Onizuka is charged, whether he knows it or not, with the task of straightening out this trouble class of students. And essentially, the anime is about Onizuka straightening these kids out and helping them become better people, you know, one at a time. Each of the students has some kind of a history with teachers that they hate them for one reason or another. Uehara, Miyabi, Aizawa, they're two of the more difficult children to deal with in the class. And they're not portrayed as like little kids. I mean, GTO is not a moe anime by any stretch. So, you know, they look like they could be in high school, and it's more of a gritty art style, so it looks a lot more reasonable in terms of their ages. But, you know, Onizuka doesn't really teach the typical classes that you might find. He tends to teach more of life lessons. And he really is a martyr figure in the show. He sacrifices absolutely everything he has for the kids to help them become decent people, to help straighten out their lives. And because of that, even though Onizuka starts out as this character that just wants to nail all the high school students, he actually becomes an extremely deep character that just gets a lot of attention in terms of his character development. The transformation from Shonen Junaigumi to the end of GTO is just ridiculously vast. I mean, he's the main character, and they focus on him a lot. But GTO, it's, as I said before, it's an anime that has a pretty much flawless blend of drama and comedy. Onizuka is an absolute hilarious character. I mean, you don't have to watch more than 5 minutes of it to, you know, laugh your ass off, you know, pretty much. And yet it has extremely engrossing drama sprinkled throughout it. Despite this being probably one of my top five favorite animes of all time, there are things about it that are negative. It doesn't have the best music in the world. It has great intro themes. It's got Lark and Seal's Driver's High as the first intro theme. But aside from the intros and the outros, the actual music isn't really that great. And also, there are some filler episodes later in the series. They're not like, they're not glaring, but, you know, they're there. But as a series that's 45 episodes long, I don't want to say it's entitled to have a filler episode or two, but it does have some episodes that don't really have to be there.
I have to ask, does the filler in the anime have a hot springs episode?
There is no hot springs episode in the anime.
Really? Thank God. However, I'm surprised.
However, there is a story arc that where Onizuka arranges to have his class taken to Okinawa for a field trip in order to kind of repent for something that he's done, and I won't spoil that for you. You know, because Onizuka is basically always getting himself into trouble or saving his students. That is probably, I don't really think it's filler. It has a purpose. You know, everything in the anime, it basically has a means of winning over one of the students to Onizuka's side. But there are no filler episodes. The filler episodes in the anime are like the episode where Tomoko Nomura, like the girl that has the D-sized boobs, gets a job at in television. That was one of the filler episodes. I think out of the 45 episodes, it's probably only like three filler episodes. It's not terrible. And no, they're not doing dumb shit like going to this hot springs or, you know,
the beach.
Yeah, they don't like pop in. They don't appear in some random location to do some random thing. GTO is not a fantasy anime. It's very, very down to earth. Slice of life is probably one of the genres you could classify it under. So, to answer your question in the longest way I think I possibly could have, no.
Wow.
I give GTO 5 bloody Midnight Angels out of 5. You're never going to find a bad review of GTO anywhere online. It's impossible. I've looked. it's going to have like a low 90s score pretty much everywhere. So GTO is definitely a must-see anime.
I've never seen it. I may have to now.
Even for girls, you know, it sounds sexist, and it is a little bit.
Yeah.
Because they basically make Onizuka a martyr, and you know, he's almost like Jesus in a way, how he helps everybody. It really can't draw a comparison in the things he does, but you know, he's not like helping people see and things like that. But women can watch it. It's not an anime that women need to run from. Just be open-minded about it.
I watched it for a while and I was really enjoying it. I didn't stop for any reason other than I just kind of forgot to keep watching it. As terrible as that sounds.
Yeah. So, that's my review of GTO. It's great. And now let's move on to Chiaki, Last Exile.
Last Exile was requested by Elven Blade Rogue. I'm kind of excited to do this review. Last Exile is a 26-episode series. Its vintage is about 2003-2004 for the U.S., and essentially, it's a steampunk kind of feel. It has some of the blending of the CG with animation type going on. The art concept was done by Range Murata, which is one of my favorite artists up there with Yoshitaka Amano. But so it's stylized, but it's not like Genkutsu stylized. You can just tell who the concept artist was if you're familiar with it. So the art's really good, and the story is, like I said, it kind of has a steampunk feel. The world looks like 19th century, but it has planes and anti-gravity devices.
Steampunk is shit.
Yes. And the story revolves around Klaus and Lavi. They're siblings, and they co-pilot a vanship and act as couriers, and vanships are like the ships. And essentially, they come across this small girl, and they get involved. They get involved with this mysterious mission because they don't want anything to happen to this little girl that they saved from a strange star-shaped killing machine ship. And so they complete their mission by delivering her to this legendary mercenary ship, Sylvana. Is that it?
Sylvana. Yes.
And they end up becoming a part of the crew, and essentially, the story takes off from there, and they're trying to get to, what is it called, the Grand Line? Is that the Grand Stream?
The Grand Stream. Stream.
Yes, the Grand Stream. I'm sorry, I watched this anime about a year ago. But, anyways, so, yeah, I mean, it's a good series, the characters are pretty likable. If you don't get into the story, though, it does kind of seem to linger on, I'd have to say, is something I remember about it. But I really enjoyed it. I found the characters to be interesting. I didn't find really any cliches in this. It's 26 episodes, so there's not too much filler in all of what's going on. But, I mean, it's one of those animes that I feel like people either really enjoy or can't get into. And we showed it to the club, and I feel that was kind of the consensus of the anime club that we watched it with. But I think it's a good series. I mean, I don't want to give too much away, but there's fighting, and the fighting's actually pretty cool. There's like people line up on ships, and it's kind of like a futuristic version of, you know, the old stand and deliver, I guess you could say, with your gun. And yeah, I'd probably give it 4 vanships out of 5. It's not phenomenal, it's not earth-shattering, but I think at the time it was pretty original, and I think it's a good presentation.
All right. Yeah, Last Exile was on. They played it on TV a couple times too. I know it was on Cartoon Network. They did a marathon of it for like Thanksgiving or something one year. So, I think it's a pretty well-seen anime. People have seen it. A lot more people than GTO. GTO is like one of those animes no one's seen. Or somehow. So the next anime we're reviewing is Nabari no O. Which, is that O like king?
Ruler, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm gonna confess. Nabari no O is probably, like, the new love of my life. Like,
you have so much love.
I do. I have so much love, and it's just, my cup runneth over with love. And this is the newest.
I've never heard of it.
That's not an uncommon response.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's a fairly new series. I mean, I remember the day that it was, well, at least to America, it's new.
It came out in April of last year.
I remember the day that the banners were all over Anime News Network, and I was excited because I had read some of the manga before I'd seen the anime, and it was pretty delightful. So this is an anime about a boy named Miharu Rokujo, and he was born with a hijutsu, which is a hidden technique, living inside of him. It's the power of creation. And of course,
quite a power.
Yeah, it is. It's the most powerful power of all powers.
Power.
But of course, since everyone is selfish, everybody else wants it. So he is hunted, and thus begins a journey of awesome. That's really
so. They're basically hunting him.
They're hunting him, and through that, he forms a bond with somebody who is after him.
My favorite character ever.
That's really cool, because you've never watched it.
Pictures.
You've seen pictures,
and
yeah.
And he's awesome.
Yoichi
sounds like me.
Kind of. Well, that's Miharu. That's the main character.
Oh, never mind.
No,
he's not my favorite character ever.
I was like, Yoichi. But, he forms this unbreakable bond with his once enemy, and yeah, in trailers it tends to look like a boys love series, but it's not. Sorry, girls. Although you could still watch it and think about how it could probably be a boys love if you really wanted to.
Well, it does have shonen eye as one of the themes.
Is it really?
Yes, it is.
Oh, really? Oh, man. Well, it's not supposed to be.
It's like Descendants of Darkness, where it's all this love, and they love each other in love, but it's, like, never actually portrayed as anything more than that.
Well, I mean, it's like, they basically, like, end up caring for each other and not anyone else, so, I mean, I could see how it could be misconstrued, I guess, or just, maybe that is how it is. I've never talked to the creator, I never will.
This is kind of odd. It's the only anime on Anime News Network that has shonen eye as a theme. Does that really make it a real theme? If there's only one anime that has it?
No.
Wait, why is Gravitation not on there?
It's just seriously not. I don't know. Maybe they just recently started listing it.
I like how the themes are Bishonen, Modern Ninjas, and Shonen Eye. That sounds like
best
the
accumulation of themes ever.
It pretty
the
much
kind
is.
Of a theme is Modern Ninjas.
Well, it's really what
they are modern ninjas. They're ninjas with guns.
There's basically like two worlds, and I'm putting that in quotes because you guys can't see. The world of Nabari, and the other one is like our world, which doesn't consist of ninjas. And the people in the world of Nabari are not supposed to involve the people in this world, in like our world. Who am I kidding? I'm a ninja.
You're a ninja. You can't see me right now.
You would. I've heard there's some pretty excellent voice acting in the Japanese version. Of course, since I am a dub connoisseur, I watched it dubbed, and I thought the dub was fascinating and really, really great. And I fell in love with Joel McDonald. Thank you, Joel McDonald, for existing. But that's kind of off topic. I described this to a friend as if you were to take Naruto and Fullmetal Alchemist and have them smacks and have a kid.
That was me.
Yeah, that was also somebody else.
Oh,
but,
you don't mean
that.
If they were to smacks and have a kid, this would be the kid, because it's basically like it. That's what they mean by like the modern ninja thing. It's like ninjas in today's time. Instead of, like, running around and, like...
Wow!
Okay, yeah.
Running around like that, yeah,
too bad
exactly.
We can't actually... Too bad they can't actually see what you're doing right now.
You know, you know what? I saw the movie Ninja Assassin over the weekend.
I wanted to see
was
that.
Was it epic?
And they do all kinds of, like, crazy, like,
Hand signs?
Hand signs, like really crazy ones.
Yeah.
Like, man, that movie is violent.
I want to see
so
that.
Far behind in the movies. We just got Inglourious Bastards over here. I haven't even heard of Ninja Assassin.
Have you seen it? Because it was really good.
Inglourious
Bastards?
Inglourious Bastards.
Yes, it was amazing.
I kind of loved it.
I wanted to see
epically
it.
So. Like, I don't like Quentin Tarantino that much, but that was a good film.
I don't really either, but I was in love with that film.
Thank you, Chiaki.
It was kind of schmexy.
A little bit, right?
Yeah, it really was.
Anything else you have to add, Flo?
I don't really think so. I mean, it's more of a drama than an action series, but there is action, and there's a decent amount of gore, and lots and lots of drama, and pretty music, because the composer was the same person who did the music of Full Metal Alchemist, and I know a lot of you guys know that. It's really great.
I have
the main theme
of those soundtracks
beautiful.
On my computer.
We've actually played the opening theme to this on a previous podcast. I can't remember which one it was, but it's a pretty amazing song. And so personally, I guess I give this in closing, I will give this I have to say 4 Shinra Bansho out of 5. But it has a 5 out of 5 in my heart. So now we're moving on to Kimiko.
Indeed.
Kura-u.
Kura-u.
Phantom Memory Kura-u.
Okay.
Or Kura-u Phantom Memory.
Or you could be Listaxic.
I could be Listaxic? Listaxic.
I made a joke, huh?
You made a joke.
You have some humor.
coming from you.
All right, so...
What?
Anyway, I just kind of want to, read this plot summary off of Anime News Network, because it's pretty decent, actually. So, while I get my reader voice on... For once. It is the year 2100. And on the colonialized...
Colon? Not the colon. In my colon.
Suddenly we're in the magic school bus. And again. Project is underway to explore new aspects of energy. Amami Kurao is the daughter of the chief scientist on the project, and on her 12th birthday, she accompanies her father to the lab to observe the experiments. Then something goes awry, and Kurao is struck by twin bolts of light. In the aftermath, her father is dismayed to find that his daughter is no longer his daughter, but rather her body is now home to two energy entities with fantastic powers.
Two energy
in
entities,
my colon.
Ha-ha.
Ha-ha.
In the colon.
They're going to take your daughter, ha-ha.
What? What are we talking about? I don't understand.
What?
But yes, that's basically...
Chim-Chim, how'd you get in the trunk? Ooh. You silly monkey.
I'm so confused.
Really?
Yeah.
Speed Racer.
Oh, I don't... Speed Racer.
You are a loser, ha ha!
You don't understand Speed Racer, what? Anyway, that's basically the summary for Phantom Memory Corral, with some, added stuff, obviously, because otherwise it wouldn't be a plot. But the whole actual story takes place 10 years later, and it's when... Kurao is older, obviously, and she's been waiting for sort of like her counterpart that resides within her to become a physical presence like herself. And, that 10 years later, I want to say it's in the first or second episode, that's when she does. And it's sort of at that point, it becomes almost like a Yuri, but not in the sense of... Not in the sense of, they're actually in, a romantic relationship. It's like... almost like an older sister and a younger sister.
Oh.
But just a lot closer than that. Like us, exactly.
Okay, cool.
It's a lot closer than that because, it transcends, general love. They are one entity and they need to be with each other and the love that they share for each other is more so, And
so of course they share the same bed. Kinky.
Just like we do.
They do. They do. And they share everything, including...
Saliva.
No.
You don't know what goes on behind the scenes.
I really don't.
Because it's an anime. Obviously, they have behind the scenes.
It's really interesting, though, because I had something and it died in my brain. It died of loneliness. It died in my brain, not in my colon. I'm surprised because most memories come from the colon, right? Yeah, uh-huh. So anyway, it's a pretty interesting series. I like it. But of what I've seen, it's a nifty plot line. You know, you are trying to figure out, basically, she promised when, Kurao promised the father when, you know, the entity kind of, when she entered, I guess, Kurao's body, you know, the entity promised the father that...
She entered her.
Yes, she did.
Oh, wow.
In a beam of light. It was that
That's
epic.
Epic.
Exactly. Not a lot of that
She made a joke about being faster than a speeding bullet, so I ripped her in half like a New York phone book.
Oh my God. The glowing penises suddenly make sense.
Wait, what? Oh my gosh.
Anyways, they weren't penises. They weren't penises.
There we go.
They were glowing lights of energy and fantastical powers.
I'm sorry, you know the father doesn't even care about his daughter anymore because, one, he's off banging some new chick and has another daughter. And
No. Look, okay, she promised him that she would give him his daughter back, and he still wants his daughter back. He doesn't have a new person. He's on the moon. He's living on the moon.
But he has a new person to come.
He has a... Wrong anime.
What did you say?
I said he has a new person to come.
Persicom. Oh, okay. I thought he said something else.
Chobits.
I was going to have to slap you. But anyway, she promises that nothing will happen to his daughter, that he'll, you know, she'll find a way to give him back his daughter and stuff like that. And many, many years pass, and she becomes some sort of, like, epic bounty hunter. And she's, like, a bounty hunter for hire, and she'll, you know, use her crazy powers that she inherited as this, being of energy. And she'll do what no other bounty hunter can, and it's pretty epic. And, you know, from what I've seen of it, this is definitely worth a watch because it's, you know, very well animated. The music is great. The plot line seems pretty good. I mean, I haven't seen the ending, so I don't know if it's going to pull a Spiral and answer absolutely no questions or Trinity Blood and try to throw it all in the last, you know, episode. But what I've seen is definitely pretty epic and I think deserves maybe a 4. Energy beams of light that aren't penises out of 5. But that's just me.
But they are.
Who wants them if they're not a penis?
Okay, so.
So
that was Phantom Memory Crow.
It was. So guess what, guys? We're done.
D-O-N-E.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Aren't you sad it's over?
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Okay. So you guys know where to find us. AAApodcast.com, iTunes, Facebook, and Mevio. And
be our Facebook friend.
Yes.
Please become our fan.
Yes.
Please. Join us.
We're almost at 1,000.
Join us.
Dang.
I know. Hold on. We are at 972. We are 28 fans away from having 1,000 fans.
We're 900!
If you come be our 1,000th fan, maybe we will give you something fun. We'll buy you some boob pudding from Japan.
Yes, I have that.
Alright, I'll show you a picture of that later.
Oh, dear.
Okay. So, yeah. Come talk to us in the forums. We love you. And, yeah, that's a wrap. We're going to bring you out with Soba ni Irareru Dake De from Sora no Otoshimono by Blue Drops. See you guys later.
See you next Sentai Podcast. Oh,
sausage.
Oh, sausage.